Going through a divorce is daunting and can make you feel financially vulnerable. Ampla Finance can help. Unlike other loans, there's no need for any ongoing monthly repayments. You're only charged loan interest on the amount of money used to pay your solicitor's fees as your case progresses, and the easy-to-use online tool keeps you in full control throughout the process. Your loan is normally repaid in full when you reach settlement, so between now and then, you have peace of mind that the cost of your divorce won't impact your day-to-day needs. Ampla Finance puts you at the heart of everything they do and can help you to make the fresh start you're looking for. To find out more, click the link in the podcast description or visit www.amplafinance.com.
You're getting divorced and you think that your spouse is hiding assets from you or not being completely honest on the formy, and you think there is more marital assets or there are more marital assets than have been disclosed. It can be really, really worrying, and you can wonder what on earth you should do about it. In this episode, I'm going to speak to an expert forensic accountant and have that conversation about what can be done, what can you do, what can your solicitor do, and at what point should you bring in a forensic accountant. I hope you enjoy the episode. I think you'll find it really useful. So let's jump right in. Hello, and today I am so pleased to be welcoming Raymond Davidson, who is, as you'll see from his picture if you're watching us on YouTube, a forensic accountant. So let me introduce him to you properly. Raymond is a fellow of the Institute for Chartered Accountants in England and Wales. He is a member of the Academy of Experts, which sounds very fancy. And he's been specialising in forensic accounting and litigation support work in relation to criminal and civil matters for over 30 years. I'm not sure he looks old enough for that. Perhaps he was at primary school when he started. His experience extends across multiple industries and sectors, and he is regularly instructed to investigate hidden assets in both divorce and criminal matters. Raymond, welcome. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this podcast with me.
Thank you very much, Tamsin, for giving me the opportunity to talk to your listeners. It's a very interesting topic, and hopefully your listeners will find it of interest.
Absolutely certain they will, because one of the questions in my line of work, working with clients who are going through divorce or ending a civil partnership, one of the most common questions is, well, how do I know that my ex is going to tell me the truth? How am I to know that they're going to disclose everything? So I guess my first question to you is going to be just that. So how would somebody know if their ex was hiding assets?
Right. Well, just to give you a bit more background, I've been involved in forensic accounting for over 30 years. The work I do is criminal and civil work. In the criminal sector, I've done a lot of work in relation to hidden assets, but more recently, I'm getting approached by members of the public and solicitors in relation to hidden assets in the civil sector, particularly in divorce, and also in relation to crypto assets, which I'll come on to a bit later. So the usual scenario is that I get contacted by a member of the public, and they believe that their spouse is dealing in crypto, and or they believe that they've got other hidden assets and they really want to get to the bottom of it. I also get contacted by solicitors asking the same. So it's from different angles. I also get approached by members of the public when there's an allegation of hidden assets against them, so that they want assistance to rebut that allegation. I think what your listeners need to be aware of is that the courts don't allow individuals or solicitors to go on fishing expeditions. So there has to be more than just a suspicion of hidden assets. So just going back to your original question, which is how would a spouse know if an ex has been hiding assets? The usual place to start with is the Form E. The Form E is a form that both spouses have to complete on divorce, and it really summarizes the assets and liabilities and the income of each spouse. And also another point of approach is to look at bank statements and credit card statements. The beauty of a Form E is not what's actually on it, it's what's not on it. And being an accountant of many years, I have considerable experience of reading between the lines and identifying areas that may require further investigation. So that's the approach that I take when trying to identify hidden assets. But the problem is that with the Form E, unfortunately, only 12 months bank statements are supplied. So quite often my work involves going back further than 12 months. But there are other indicators of hidden assets, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but just as an example, the sort of things that I come across are mail being directed so that important documents are going to another address. It could be that passwords are being changed to accounts or investments. It could be that a spouse is being locked out from running a jointly or managed business. Again, assets could be transferred into the names of family members, either temporarily or permanently. It could be that your ex is investing in cryptocurrencies. And again, I'll come back to that a bit later. And your ex could suddenly change their mind about the divorce and ask to try again to enable them to get their financial affairs in order. And another one I come across Wow. is that exes get involved in high value purchases with the intention of recouping money post-settlement. So those are some of the red flags that I come across in dealing with divorces.
There's quite a lot to unpick there, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of indicators, and it's really trying to spot things that are going on. You may consider them as being normal behavior, but there may be things that are outside the norm. And it just gives you food for thought as to what's actually going on in your financial affairs with your ex.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we move on from this, if you think your ex is hiding money, do you need to suspect that it's a substantial amount in order to get somebody like you involved? Or is it just you've kind of seen these red flags that you've just taken us through and therefore it's worth investigating a little bit further from there?
Well, the main issue that spouses come across is the issue of proportionality, because sure. There's obviously a cost involved when you get experts involved, whether they be solicitors or forensic accountants. So Absolutely. If you believe that there's an asset with a value of up to, say, £5,000, it's really not going to be cost effective to get an expert involved or even a solicitor involved. Sure. But having said that, some of the smaller value assets, when they are thoroughly investigated, can lead into trails of other assets that may have been hidden. And again, I'll come back to that perhaps a bit later. So the answer is that you shouldn't get too hooked up on assets with a modest value, but you've got to bear in you've got to keep in mind the cost of investigating the potential for hidden assets.
Sure. And I guess from what you've just said, sometimes the 5,000 might turn into 50,000, and therefore it it was worth investigating, but I guess that's not always the case.
No, not always, but I'll hopefully have the opportunity to talk to you about one or two cases that we've been involved in the past. And there were instances where we were told about an asset that only had a modest value, and it turned out it was a significant asset.
Oh, that's worth staying tuned for if you if you're listening, definitely. So how can assets be hidden during a divorce? Is that something that happens? Is it commonplace?
Yes, because when spouses get divorced, it's not something that they thought about overnight. It's usually something that has evolved over a period of time, and spouses will plan ahead for a potential divorce, and unfortunately, and it's something that spouses need to be aware of. So again, coming back to the point about the Form E, unfortunately, you only get 12 months bank statements at a Form E, but there are opportunities to go back and request more information. And again, I'll expand on that perhaps a bit later. But in terms of spotting what's been going on in the lead up to a divorce, the sort of things that I've come across in my work are gifting of assets to family and friends. It could be transferring money or shares, either temporarily or permanently. It could be manipulating business accounts so that if you're in business with your ex, or you were in business with your ex, the accounts have been manipulated to show a level of performance under what was actually achieved. It could be that there are fictitious liabilities included to depress the value of the company, or that there are false claims of monies being lent to third parties, which would be a claim against the business. So other things I've come across are secret banks and savings accounts. There are deferring of payments of bonuses and commissions when an ex has been employed. Part of their remuneration package may be the receipt of bonuses and commissions. So there is the opportunity to go to the employer and ask for those to be deferred. It could be that the ex has failed to declare income on tax returns, so there may be income that the spouse isn't aware of. It could be that an ex has denied the existence of an asset. It could be shareholdings. It could potentially be intellectual property that the ex owns personally in a particular company. Using cryptocurrencies, this is a very big area. It's an area that I'm getting instructed on more and more, particularly in the last 2 years. But the thing about cryptocurrencies is not to get too hooked up on how they work. The thing about cryptocurrencies is that they're probably one of the easiest assets to find and to trace. It's a fallacy to think that crypto assets is one of the easiest ways to hide money from your spouse. There is a trail, but the terminology can get very confusing. But what I say to members of the public to enable them to understand the basics of crypto is that a wallet is like a bank account. You'll have a public key, which is like the account number. You'll have a private key, which is like the PIN number that you have on your personal bank account. There are things called exchanges, and they're just effectively brokers that transact the cryptocurrency. And there is something called a blockchain, which is just effectively a digital ledger. which records every single crypto transaction. And it records every crypto transaction that's ever been made since crypto was invented. So there is a permanent record there that can be used to trace assets. And I'll talk about at the end, maybe if we've got time, about some of the examples of tracing crypto. Other things I've come across in relation to hidden assets and divorce, setting up trusts. Trusts can be notoriously complicated. Individuals can hold assets offshore. It's not illegal to hold assets offshore, but it makes it difficult to trace them and value them. As I mentioned before, individuals do plan for divorce, unfortunately, and it's not been known for individuals to take out regular round sum amounts of cash, small denominations, and accumulate that over a period of time and hold that cash. And also including debts that don't actually exist. Another way of hiding assets is deliberately devaluing assets to show a much lower value than they're worth. And finally, another one that I come across is assets being held for, or claiming that assets are held for third parties when they're not actually being held for third parties. So there's lots of things that I've come across in the hidden assets investigations that I've undertaken over the years. And it's really keeping an open mind and following up all the potential indicators.
Crikey, it's frightening what lengths people go to avoid sharing things fairly with their spouse. So what steps can be taken to find these hidden assets? I mean, it feels a bit like there would be different steps for different types of assets. And some of those that you've been through, I can only imagine are incredibly difficult to gain access to the evidence and to find those hidden assets. So where do you start?
First and foremost, your listeners need to be aware that it's my understanding that any improper transaction that's taken place in the 3 years leading up to the divorce can be actually reversed. So it's just because something's happened in the past, it doesn't mean that it's a done deal and it's irreversible. Mm-hmm. But my advice to your listeners is if a spouse believes that there is a hidden asset, then they should speak to their solicitor and advise them accordingly. And then the solicitor takes the decision whether instructing a forensic accountant is warranted. And that's where I get involved. So most of my instructions are direct from solicitors, but I do get approaches by members of the public. But for a solicitor, there are a number of options open to them. They can request additional disclosure. I touched upon it a few minutes ago about the Form E and only being able to get hold of the last 12 months bank statements initially. In my view, it's If you're undertaking a forensic investigation, having a minimum of 6 years bank statements is a must. So if there is good grounds for believing that there is a hidden asset, then the solicitor really needs to go for copies of 6 years bank statements and 6 years credit card statements. Other things that a solicitor can do are to apply to the courts for a search and seizure order. But that's expensive. And also the hurdles to get over that are high. The courts will not allow a search and seizure order unless there is compelling evidence that there is there are hidden assets. Another thing that a solicitor can do is apply for a freezing order against a particular asset to stop it being disposed of or dissolved. Another thing a solicitor can do is add back a transaction or expenditure if it's extravagant and it's a lifestyle expense. But even when a divorce is finished, it can always be reopened at a later date if it's found that a divorce, a transaction has been undertaken that has been done deliberately to try and pull the wool over the eyes of their spouse.
Okay, so there are lots of options open to the solicitors. And you mentioned that sometimes you are instructed directly by members of the public. And earlier still, you said that couples shouldn't undertake, or divorcing spouses shouldn't undertake their own investigations because that's not allowed. But presumably, looking through the 12-month bank statements on receipt of the Form E and seeing if there are any kind of undisclosed transactions to other bank accounts would alert suspicion. And I presume a spouse is able to do things like that?
Yes. If you're not getting a forensic accountant involved, you can undertake your own review of bank statements. And if you see transactions going from one account to another, and you're not aware of the destination of those funds, your solicitor can request clarification from your ex's solicitor as to the destination of those funds. So you don't have to go to the cost of employing a forensic accountant. But quite often, the descriptions on bank statements are not clear, they're misleading. Particularly when it comes to crypto transactions, they're almost impossible to identify because there's a lot of jargon there. So you really need a trained eye to look through bank statements and credit card statements. But certainly transfers to other bank accounts that you may not be aware of are quite easy to identify, and you're perfectly at liberty to go to your solicitor and query that, and that will be queried with your ex's solicitor.
Absolutely, and I assume the same goes for transfers into contributions into a pension scheme from the bank account where the pension scheme's not been spoken of or not been disclosed on for me, and the same with ISA's investments and the like as well.
Yeah, certainly. I was going to come on to a few cases that I deal with, but one of the cases that I'm currently working on is a lady who married a German national. He moved from his employment in Germany, and she is now aware that there was a pension fund in Germany, and there's also a German bank account that she wasn't aware of. So there's a German bank account funding this pension fund, and she wants to get to the bottom of it. So we are investigating that at the moment. We've had to use the services of specialists who deal with asset tracing overseas. But overseas asset tracing is also an area that we get involved in from time to time.
Wow. Right, so this is the bit that I'm really looking forward to. So can you give us some examples of some cases that you've worked on and how you've had some positive outcomes?
Yeah, just on that previous point in relation to what spouses can and can't do, it's very important that spouses don't start rifling through their ex's drawers and laptops, looking for information, because it's just prohibited. There is a case law that prohibits that, and you could get yourself in difficulties if that is discovered. So if a spouse does have belief that there are hidden assets, then they should go to the solicitor, and then the solicitor will request disclosure from the other side. So I would definitely say to spouses, do not go through your ex's papers unless they are voluntarily provided to you and you've had copies that have been provided to you and you've retained those copies. So just coming back to cases that we deal with, we get involved in a lot of cases that involve, as you just mentioned, looking at bank statements and credit card statements, identifying unusual transactions. And some of those unusual transactions lead us into identifying other assets that a spouse may not have been aware of. Could be purchase of assets. It could be transfers of monies from one bank account to another bank account or into credit card accounts that a spouse wasn't aware of. But as I just touched on a few minutes ago, we're doing a lot of crypto work and there are a lot of crypto transactions going through individuals' bank statements and credit card statements. So you really need a trained eye to identify those. So we do a lot of that type of work, looking through bank statements covering six-year periods. We may go further than just trying to identify suspicious transactions. We may actually analyze the whole of those bank statements into different categories, and then the spouse can identify areas that just don't look right, and they require further investigation. So that's the sort of case I get involved in quite a lot. I touched on the pension fund case involving the German national. That's the case that we're on with. But in the last 2 years, we've done a lot of crypto cases in relation to hidden assets. And the usual scenario is that a spouse knows that their ex has been dealing in crypto. So it's not hidden, the fact that they've been dealing in crypto. It's just that the spouse has said that for whatever reason, that crypto asset isn't available. It could be that we've had explanations that the individual was hacked and they lost all the crypto, which was untrue. They invested the crypto in a business venture and the business venture failed. That was found to be untrue. But the usual scenario is that an ex has crypto. They say the value of it's about £4,000 or £5,000 and they tell their ex it's really not worth investigating further because of the small balance on the crypto. We had such an instance about a year ago where an individual disclosed that he had a wallet that had only about £4,000 or £5,000 worth of crypto on it. So we investigated that. We looked into the wallet and without going into the technicalities of it, we looked at the history of the transactions that had occurred. We went through the whole of the period since, certainly the last 6 years following transactions, and we'd identified that there'd been crypto that had been taken out of that wallet and put into another wallet. And then we identified that wallet and we investigated that one and we found that money had been transferred from that wallet into another wallet. So we went from wallet to wallet to wallet to wallet. Eventually, we found a wallet that hadn't been disclosed that had nearly £500,000 in it. So this individual was he was in the computer industry, was very tech savvy, so he knew what he was doing. He'd been dealing in crypto for about 15 years, and he'd obviously made arrangements in anticipation of potentially getting a divorce and hid those assets. So as you can imagine, the spouse that we were instructed by was very happy with the outcome, and a court order was made against that individual for non-disclosure of that asset. So that's an extreme example, but we do get involved in cases where there are other wallets that haven't been disclosed with smaller amounts of money on them, or the crypto has been used to purchase assets that haven't been disclosed, or the crypto has been transferred to a friend's wallet because what the crypto can only be traced if it's transacted through what I refer to as one of the exchanges. They're effectively the brokers who buy and sell crypto. So if crypto is transferred from one wallet to another wallet, and the person who receives that crypto doesn't deal in it, he doesn't buy or sell, he can just sit on that wallet, and there's no, it's very difficult to get a transaction history on that particular wallet. So there are specialists out there that can assist in identifying the destination of where crypto assets have gone to. And we use them from time to time when things get really complex. What we need to start with are the exchanges that individuals have transacted through. And if you've got a wallet address, then you can identify the exchanges. And once you go to, once you use the powers that the solicitor has, he or she can go to an exchange and request the KYC checks, the Know Your Client checks, or the money laundering checks that have to be undertaken when a crypto account is opened, and that can be disclosed to the solicitor, and the owner of that particular asset can be identified. So there's lots of different ways of tracing crypto, and we've been involved in a number of cases, particularly in relation to divorce, over the last 2 years.
Wow. That's it. That sounds quite some work. You mentioned about some examples of business assets and how businesses were used and the accounts kind of manipulated, for want of a better word, in order to hide assets or to make up liabilities or to kind of hide things in the accounts from the spouse. Have you got any examples where you've worked on cases like that?
Yeah, definitely. With a divorce, the spouses are either employed or they're self-employed. So when they're employed, it's pretty straightforward. You look at the earnings of that particular person, and that is brought into the divorce settlement. If one or both of the spouses are self-employed, there's usually a business asset involved, whether they be sole trader, partnership, or limited company. So when there's a business asset that has to be valued, that comes into the pot when it comes to the settlement. And we've been involved in valuations, business valuations for businesses as small as a fish and chip shop, right up to large groups of companies with overseas interests. So when you're valuing a business, we usually get involved in valuing a limited company. It's usually an owner-managed private limited company. I've been a chartered accountant for many years. I won't go into exactly how many years. being an accountant, I've been involved in auditing, preparation of accounts, preparation of management accounts, tax returns. I've seen it all. And I can read between the lines. I can look at a set of accounts and I can identify things that just don't look right. I can read a balance sheet and profit and loss account, and I can provide the solicitor with areas to investigate further. And as I touched on earlier, there are things that individuals can do to manipulate the value of a business, such as overstating their liabilities or understating the value of assets. It could be under declaration of income. They've been doing work off the books and taking it in cash. So there are a number of ways that business valuations can be manipulated. And if you've got somebody who is in the financial sector, it's quite easy for them to do that.
Oof. That's horrendous, isn't it? It's I've certainly seen some cases like that over the last few years that I've been working in this area. Raymond, believe it or not, we're coming to the end of our time together, which I'm really disappointed about because it's been absolutely fascinating speaking to you. Is there anything that we've missed out on that we should have mentioned?
Well, what I would say is that people shouldn't get paranoid. It's not every divorce there are hidden assets. It's actually quite a rarity because there are penalties for hiding assets and completing an incorrect Form E. So it's the minority of cases that I get involved in. And really, your listeners should only go down that road if there is a firm belief that there are hidden assets. It could be that a spouse has said something in the past and it's just rang a bell in your listeners' heads. And that's when things should be pursued. But really use your solicitor to make the inquiries on your behalf because they have much stronger powers than you have. And if it really gets messy, then get a forensic accountant involved who's got experience of dealing with investigating hidden assets, in particular investigating cryptocurrencies, because unfortunately that's the major area at the moment. There's always been historic hiding of bank accounts, but crypto is the growth area at the moment.
Fantastic. Great advice that, Raymond. So, not to get too paranoid and not feel that just because you're getting divorced, your ex will definitely be hiding assets, because as you say, it is a rarity. Thank you so much for joining me today. I know there's going to be a lot of people listening to this and fascinated by what you've had to say. So really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Hi, and I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Smart Divorce Podcast. If you would like to get in touch, please have a look in the show notes for our details, or go onto the website www.smartdivorce.co.uk. Also, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify and you wouldn't mind leaving us a lovely 5-star review, that would be fantastic. I know that lots of our listeners are finding this is incredibly helpful in their journey through separation, divorce, and dissolving a civil partnership. Also, if you would like some further support, we do have a Facebook group now. It's called Separation, Divorce, and Dissolution UK. Please do go on to Facebook, search up the group, and we'd be delighted to have you join us. The one thing I would say is do please answer their membership questions. Okay, have a great day and take care.